It's a very shorter version because we've got communion today of a message that I gave on the last night of Hollybush Camp. Because I felt it was appropriate for us at this stage where we are as a church. Now, when you probably saw the email and heard that we were doing the feeding of the 5,000, most of you probably know it word perfect. But I'm hoping that what I share today is a challenge to you as it was to me. I'm going to read from John's version. There are four versions of this. But we will also be looking at Mark's version. Now, it's quite simple to remember because they're both chapter 6. So it's chapter 6 of Mark, chapter 6 of John. But let me just read the first verses of John's gospel out. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he'd performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where should we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. God will bless his word. Look, it's been a long day. Been a busy time for the disciples. If you read the start of Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 13, you'd find that just before the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples had been sent out 2 by 2 by Jesus to go into the villages and do the stuff. And they were out there delivering people of demons and healing the sick and preaching the gospel. And great things had been happening. And they'd returned, we read the verse before the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark 6 verse 30, to tell Jesus all about this amazing ministry time that had happened. The great stuff that they'd been doing. They reported it back. Jesus, we read in Mark 6 verse 31, knew that they needed a rest. He knew they needed some recuperation. He wanted to find somewhere quiet for them to go, away from everyone. But instead, they were followed, as John tells us, by a large crowd. John 6, verse 2. Now, Jeff would call this the ministry of inconvenience. Personally, I'd call it my day off. Because basically all that happened was stuff started to pour in on them. And there's all these people there, and there's all this stuff to do. And Jesus had compassion on the crowd and preaches to them all day. But in the midst of their tiredness and their weariness and their sense of, "I just need a rest from all this," Jesus sets them a test. Now, the Bible says in John 6, verse 5, that he knew what he was going to do. But he basically said to them, "Look, we need to feed this crowd." And he says to the disciples, "What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?" I think we all can be, particularly as we get older, a little bit tired. We feel like we've been doing this for years. We've been going around the houses. We've been throwing ourselves into doing stuff for Jesus. There aren't 7,000 people who live on this estate, but, you know, say there's 7,000 people in this area. There's more than that in Sheffield 8 that we're living in. We're coming up to a time with a food crisis and a fuel crisis, and it can all at times seem too much. You know, anything that we can do as a church just feels like we're scratching the surface of a massive social issue. But Jesus asks us, what are we going to do about it? Look, the disciples might have been thinking at this time, "Look, haven't we done enough recently? We've just been going out and doing all this stuff for you in all this area. You said come and have a rest, and now you want us to cook up a meal for 5,000 men plus women and children, about 7,000 people." I think that when Jesus tests us, you know, These are always challenges to our faith. They don't come at convenient times. They don't come at that time when we feel full of enthusiasm and full of faith and full of life and full of hope. They sometimes come at those dark times. They sometimes are like plate glass windows that you don't see, that you walk into, that you didn't know were there, and they come as a surprise to you. Out of the blue, something happens in your family, in your life, in your community that really rocks your boat. Jesus tests us, but he knows what he's going to do. The problem is, for us, not necessarily the disciples on this day, but for us, I think the older we get as Christians, the harder we can become to be convinced that God can do anything with the little that we offer him. You know, our enthusiasm wanes. Ministry fatigue sets in. We've had too many letdowns, too many false dawns, too many disappointments. We've grown tired and weary of yet another thing being put in front of us that just seems too much. We can even become suspicious of taking steps of faith in responding to God. We'd rather just, you know, be passive and just, or hope that it would all go away, like the disciples said, you'll see. When we feel overwhelmed by the issues that we faced, either in our personal life, or in our family life, or in our community, that can paralyze faith. Despite all they'd seen, despite all they'd been involved with, despite all they'd experienced recently, Jesus to them seemed to be asking too much of them at this time. In Mark 6, verse 37, Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." And their response was, we read in Mark 6, verse 35, it's late in the day. They actually say, "It's very late, Jesus. Just send them away. It's a remote place. It's very late. It's too late to do anything in this situation. Our moment of doing something has passed. You should have asked us this hours ago instead of preaching so long. You know, we would have got on with it, but it's too late now." And they say, "Look, we can't do anything." Philip came up with a great thing. He did that thing that often missions do these days. He looked at the statistics and the crowd, and he came up with a fantastic statement of faith. 8 months' wages wouldn't buy us enough bread for each one to have a bite. Again, you know, so much of what we hear in the church is what a mess it's in. You know, the church is decreasing, the problems are getting worse, we're in a bit of a mess, we're not going to be able to do it. The emphasis for Philip was the size of the task. It's too much. It's a costly ask. It's going to cost us this. Where is even the money coming from for us to meet the need that you're asking for us? The disciples' answer was simple. Send them home. Send them back to the villages. You know, send them back to Galilee. We know this area. We live around here, Jesus. We know what it's about. Just send them back. We can't deal with this. It's too late. It's too big a challenge. The crowd's too big. The cost's too big. And our resources are far too small. Please, Jesus, take this test away from me. I can't cope with it. The disciples are overwhelmed. But one of them, Andrew, discovers a lad who's willing to help. The boy. We don't even know his name. But his story's been told the world over. Someone who's anonymous, somebody who's a nobody, somebody who's not even known to us. Just a boy with a pack up. "Here's a boy," says Andrew, "with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish." He's already emphasized the cost is too great. And now all he can come up with is some small answer to this solution. "How far will this go among so many?" He's basically saying, this is nothing in comparison to the need. It's too small. It's not enough. It's not even a happy meal, you know, a kid's happy meal. There's nothing fun about this at all. The disciples have emphasized the size of the task being too big and the size of their resource is too small. It all seems so inconsequential. This contribution appeared meaningless. Worth nothing, not worth making. But you know, for that boy, It was all he had to offer. And at least he was willing to give it. It's a miracle itself that a hungry child is willing to give up the food, but I mean, he was willing to give it. It was a sacrifice. He had no guarantee to get a meal back out of it. He didn't know what was going to happen with it. He'd not worked out what was going to happen next. He thought he'd just lost his pack up and given it to Jesus. The thing is, for so many of us, we can feel as anonymous and inconsequential as that little lad. What I have to offer will make no difference at all. But if we offer it to Jesus, it will. Now, I'd like to suggest to you, because I would know this in our own church, if we were to stick our hands up and say, who's brought some food with them today? Might be a snack bar, might be a banana, might be something. But even for 2 hours on a Sunday morning, people come with nibbles for church. I know it. I've seen it. It's okay. Don't worry. Not trying to condemn you, just telling the truth. Do you know what? I would tell you that in a crowd of 7,000, particularly if there was families with young kids, which there were some kids there, because this is one boy, there would be other families with food that day. So don't get the idea, well, the biggest miracle would have been if there was only one person with some food among a crowd of 7,000 that day. That would have been a massive miracle. The difference was, the others had something to offer, but they knew it wasn't enough. It wasn't worth sharing. It wouldn't stretch. You know, it's not like some visitors have just arrived for Sunday morning. Oh, we'll make it stretch a bit, you know, those days. They knew it wouldn't be enough, or they just were unwilling to give what they had. Truth is, no one else came forward. And it took a child, a lad, a small boy, to show them what to do. And this is the point I wanted to get to today, because I love Jesus' response. Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks. He doesn't look down on the little bit we can bring. He doesn't look at it and say, what am I supposed to do with this? He doesn't disapprove. He doesn't say, is this all you can bring me? He doesn't look at us with some sort of judgmental eyes. He takes what we offer him and he gives thanks. A child's meal feeds a crowd. You see, it never was about the size of our contribution, but our willingness to offer it and surrender it to God, to give it into Jesus' hands. In Jesus' hands, a little goes a long way. And we see this right the way through the Bible. The widow's oil, the widow's bit of meal, the widow's mite, you know, the God using old people who thought they were past it, young people who thought were never up to it. God taking things and talking to things like salt and yeast and mustard seeds. Small, inconsequential, people who had been written off, people who were nothing, people who thought they had nothing to contribute, people who just weren't going to make it. And instead of actually Jesus saying to them, well, you've got to actually have worked first and produce me a feast before I'm willing to take it up. Produce me something that's worthwhile giving to me. Give me something big. Give me something that's of quality before I will bless it and give thanks for it. Jesus says, I just want what you've got. I just want who you are. I just want the little bit. You might feel anonymous. You might feel inconsequential in this church. You might feel you've got nothing really to offer. But Jesus says, however small you might feel, and however small you might feel you can bring to me, the offering you can bring, bring it. Bring it. Come with that simple faith of a child and give what you can, not what you haven't got. We're always waiting till we've got something to give Jesus. And you'll wait for the rest of your life and you'll never give it. You will. Because it'll never be good enough in your eyes. You'll never be ready. You'll never have trained enough. You'll have never be experienced enough. You'll never be mature enough. You'll never have enough time. You'll never have enough money. You'll never feel you've got enough faith. And so you'll never do anything. You'll sit there with that crowd waiting for something to happen. You'll sit there waiting. Come as we are. The consequence of a little handed to Jesus are huge. Throughout Scripture, we see Jesus using the least, the last, the lost. So the conclusion is simply this. Jesus wants each of us to give what we have. That little bit. We might think it's not enough. We might feel it's not enough. And that Jesus can't do anything with us. It's pretty worthless. It's pretty insignificant in comparison to the needs around us. But give it. Don't hold back. Jesus takes what you offer him today, and he'll bless it, and he'll multiply it. Because a little goes a long way in God's hands and makes a big difference. So today, whatever the challenges in life you face personally, and we all have those, some of them I know are worse than others. Whatever the overwhelming challenge we face in terms of mission as a church, what can I give him? What can I give him? Is there a little bit of faith I can bring to that hopeless situation? Is there a little bit of love I can bring to that challenging relationship? Is there a little bit of time I can find to give to somebody else? Is there a little bit of money I can even give to help somebody? What can I bring to the party? Few small fish? Few bread rolls? Seems like nothing with 7,000 people. But in the end, that mustard seed of giving that you give to Jesus, that mite that you give him, that little coin, small coin, that's what a mite is, smallest coin, makes a massive difference. I'm not talking about your money today. I'm actually talking about your faith. I'm talking about the little bit of faith you need to apply to issues where you need to see God at work in your life, in your family, in your relationships, in your community, in the mission that you're involved with. Bring it to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say, is that all you can bring me? He gives thanks. Amen. God bless you. Amen.